Praise God. Let's sing song number 69. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you, I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free.
I love you, Lord Jesus. I praise you, my God. I thank you for everything that you do in my life, Lord, and for calling me to be one of your chosen, my God, for saving my soul. I love and I praise you, Lord. You are everything, my God. I love you today. Praise you, my God. Praise God. Claudette? Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm also very thankful for that. Adela is starting kindergarten on Tuesday at Readout, so it's nice that there'll be another saint in church or in the school with her. That way, if we forget to give her lunch money, she can she can look you up. I was gonna do a special for you guys tonight. Song is Holy Water. If you know it, please sing along with me.
My knees again, God, I'm begging, please again, I need you. Walk walking down these desert roads. Water for my thirsty soul, I need you. I need you. Your forgiveness, like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like the sound of a symphony in my ears, like holy water on my skin. Dead men walk, enslaved to sin. Wanna know about being born again? I need you. So take me to that riverside. Take me under, baptize. I need you. I need you. Your forgiveness, like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like the sound of a symphony to my ears, like holy water on my skin. I don't want to abuse your grace, but I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like the sound of a symphony to my ears, like holy water. Your forgiveness, it's like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like the sound of a symphony to my ears, like holy water. Your forgiveness, like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like the sound of a symphony to my ears, like holy water on my skin, like holy water on my skin, like holy water.
Power that we have through you, my Lord Jesus, for that forgiveness that you've given each and every one of us. Just, I love you today and I praise you, my God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, my God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, my God.
Let's sing song number 77. He's done so much for me. He's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all, I cannot tell it all. He's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. He has taken my sins away. He's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all, I cannot tell it all. He's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. He has taken my sins away. He's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all, I cannot tell it all. He's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. He has taken my sins away. He's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all, I cannot tell it all. He's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. He has taken my sins away. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me.
Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, my God. I praise you, Lord. I thank you for that gift, the gift of forgiveness through your Holy Spirit, through baptism in your name, Jesus. I love and I praise you. I'm so thankful for all you've done for me, my God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, my Lord. Praise you, my God. Praise God, you may be seated.
Just want to thank God for being here tonight, and actually just echo what Sherry just said. I just love hearing things that people have to testify about at church, and it just lifts us all up or reminds us of things that we can pray for each other, and I'm thankful for that. And also this song that we're going to sing is just about that same idea of the goodness of God and the way that he's been there for us through everything, and he never fails us. And just ask you to worship with us while we sing tonight.
I love you, Lord. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I love your voice. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. The moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
All my life you have been faithful, all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Glory, Jesus. Thank you, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sing our, Diane. Sing our last song tonight before Paul comes up and brings us the word of God. Song number 202, Just Wanna Tell You. Just wanna tell you I'm thankful for all that you have done. For the stars in the moonlight and for the setting sun. And when my work on earth is through, I'm coming home to be with you. Just want to tell you I'm thankful, that's all. Just want to tell you I'm thankful for all that you have done. For the stars in the moonlight and for the setting sun. And when my work on earth is through, I'm coming home to be with you. Just want to tell you I'm thankful, that's all. Just want to tell you I'm thankful for all that you have done. For the stars in the moonlight and for the setting sun. And when my work on earth is through, I'm coming home to be with you. Just want to tell you I'm thankful, that's all. One more time. Just want to tell you I'm thankful for all that you have done. For the stars in the moonlight and for the setting sun. And when my work on earth is through, I'm coming home to be with you. Just want to tell you I'm thankful, that's all.
I love you, Lord, and I'm so thankful, my God. Thankful for this life that you've given me, for always being there with us, Lord. I praise you, my Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Will you all please stand for the word of God?
Praise the Lord, everybody. You may be seated. Beautiful day here in Soldotna, Alaska, again. Thank you, Lord. We're a little slow on the weather this year as far as nice weather goes, but God's making up for it. So I appreciate every good day we have. And every day is a good day with the Holy Ghost and living for God. We want to welcome our visitors, our online folks, to beautiful Soldotna, Alaska on Sunday, the 15th of August already. Where in the world does this year go? It's unbelievable. The fireweed's out, and things are looking real fall-like here pretty quick. But anyway, enjoy it while you can. I love fall, too. Fall's my favorite time of the year. And I don't think I've ever been anywhere that's any more beautiful than Alaska in the fall. It's awesome. Just a reminder, 2 weeks from today, we're having our Praise in the Park service. I'm excited about this opportunity to share what we have from God with the public. And that's our fast week also. So pray that God will go before us and put on some hearts that they need more of God. And we'll be there to fulfill that need. And give them the opportunity that God's been so gracious to give us all. Because without this salvation plan from God, we were all lost. It doesn't make any difference what walk of life you come from or how good a person you've been or how bad a person you've been. That we all need salvation. The Bible teaches it. We all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. So we all need God and His Spirit to live the life that this world is impossible to live in without the power of the Holy Ghost. We're going to talk a little bit today about the Word of God and what a comfort it is to His people, especially during these trying times that we're living in right now. The news, most people that I know don't even want to watch the news anymore. So it's too scary. But I actually heard somebody say the other day that they don't want to hear about the end times. Well, there's a reason that God put that in His Word, to warn us. And it's a motivator also. When you're not in a place where you need to be with God, it gets scary. And it says you win some by love and some by fear. So all God wants is to save every soul that'll listen to Him and obey His Word. He doesn't want to be mean to anybody or anything else, but He does have an exact salvation plan, and we're obligated to share it with whosoever will. Let's start out in Joshua. It'll be Joshua, the first chapter. Let's start out in verse 5. Joshua, the first chapter, verse 5. And this is God's promise to His people, if they will keep His commandments. There's always an if in God's word. With all these blessings and happiness and joy and all the things that go with living for God are available if you obey His word. If not, it can get pretty tough out there. Joshua, the first chapter, verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swore unto your fathers to give them. And God can't lie. If He makes a promise in His word to you, He will keep it. He's able to keep it and will keep it. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest be observed to do according to all that the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from the right hand to the left, that thou mayest prosper whatsoever thou goest. And he tells you, if you obey my word, there's nothing that God won't do for you. And we know that here. We can look around here and see that that's a true statement. Verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do it according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And everybody wants to be prosperous, and everybody wants to have success in their life. That's what this is all about. Nobody wants to be downcast and begging for bread. I mean, God's word says he will take care of his people. He says, I never suffer my people to beg for bread. And I know that that's true personally, and I know it's true watching him in action over the years. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, because it's scary out there right now. It's real scary for a lot of people. It's especially scary for those that don't have the truth, that aren't filled with the Holy Ghost, that are living a life that they're just one day at a time and they're just hoping it gets better. According to the scriptures, we're on our way out of here. This world is going to be turned upside down, and it's on its way right now. I mean, you can look at the news for just a few minutes and you can see scripture fulfilled on that news. And it's our duty and our mission to share that with mankind. I mean, we can't worry about somebody rejecting us or not liking us or anything negative if we share the word of God with them. Because at that white throne judgment, we're going to be accountable. If we had the opportunity to share what God could do for you, the salvation plan that's in the book of Acts, the first two chapters, if we have that opportunity to share that with people and we don't do that, we will be called to task for it. They will be able to stand there and say, I worked with you, saw you every day in the bank, whatever, and you didn't say anything to me. And now here I am going into an eternal damnation. We don't want that to happen. We want everybody to have the same opportunity that we had, that God gave us. And yeah, this word's convicting. But when you're not in the place you're supposed to be with God, you're going to be convicted. His word teaches you that. A preacher's not up here trying to be mean to anybody. He's trying to save your soul. That's what his job is, to give you hope in your life. I was one of the people that didn't have a whole lot of hope in my life. We talked about that a little bit last week. But without being where you're supposed to be with God, mankind has only got this scriptures to fulfill their hopes. God is the only hope that mankind has. You're not gonna fight all this stuff off that's coming. I don't care how you feel politically or otherwise. This is going to happen. It's written in God's word, and everything's happened except for this last little bit that he's prophesied about. So it's just something to think about. My position here is to try to motivate people to check it out. If they don't want to do that, well, I can't do nothing about that, but I'm going to do my best to try to stir people up and get them to look into this word of God. And they might get tired of hearing this stuff. In fact, I'm sure they do. But it doesn't change my position. I have to tell them. If I tell them every time I get up here the same exact thing, I'm going to tell them. And if you just throw it over your shoulder, well, I got time. The Bible teaches you don't have time. You know, we've talked about walking out of these doors and getting run over by a car. That's your time. And whatever happens to you right then in your life spiritually is frozen for eternity. I don't care if you're 15 or 105. So yeah, I'm going to give people an opportunity If I can, if they don't want to take it, that's up to them. But, man, when I heard you could change, I wanted some of that action. I wanted to change. And I didn't want to change for 5 minutes. I wanted to change my whole life. I wanted to change the way I thought, the way I felt, and the way I even looked. I didn't want to be me no more. Let's go to Psalms 119. I got a couple of notes on the top of my page here about what I was going to call this teaching. I don't think I ever did actually come up with a solid. It says the Word of God is a comfort or soul food. It's food for the soul. That's what it is. So if you want to name this, it's soul food. Psalms 119, verse 41. This is talking to God's people. This is him talking to his people through his word. The Bible teaches that this word right here is God. This is his personality. These are his feelings. And this is what he has for his people. So if you just think it, you're reading this like a book, it's not true. These are God's words to his people. This is how he feels about you. This is the things that happen to you if you don't obey him. And these are the things that happen to you if you do. And this is where you spend eternity, one place or the other. You'll be judged by these words. We all will. Psalms 119, starting with verse 41. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. We need to know enough about this word to be able to explain to anybody that we talk to, come in contact, what it means. You say, well, I'm not sure about that one. Well, at this point in time, most of us should know pretty much everything that's in the Bible as far as being able to explain it. And if we don't, we should have the resources to go get it. And we do have the resources. So we're accountable for that too, that when somebody asks you a question, you need to be able to give them an answer. Verse 42, or verse 43. And take not thy word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. See, this Bible, this word of God is our hope. This gives us hope when we're going through a rough time, we're in the valleys, and all these negative things are happening in our lives to try us and prove us. We have hope in this. When we read this Bible and pray, God's right there. Now, it teaches us to comfort one another. And that's the way we should do it. It should be a comfort to one another. Somebody's always comforting you and you don't have anything to return for anybody else, there's something wrong. It should be a two-way street. I mean, I'll comfort you today and I'll be needing some comfort tomorrow from you. That's how it's supposed to work. You're not supposed to be one person, oh, woe is me all the time. That's not God's way. We have our mountains and our valleys, and we're always going to have them till the day he calls us home. But we can't be in a valley every day of our life. He said, I come to give you peace and joy. You should not be in a valley every day. In the valleys you grow, but on the mountaintops you rejoice. If you're running around and you don't have any peace and joy in your life, it's not God's fault. It tells you that right here in his word. He says, the Holy Ghost is peace, joy, and righteousness. Peace, and no matter what happens to you, you can handle it. Joy, I never knew what that word meant till I received the Holy Ghost. Real joy. And happy no matter what's going on in my life. Happy is not even the word, it's joy. You joy because you know that God only lets it go so far, and in the end, you're going to be closer to him. And he's going to work it all out. In righteousness, you can live a holy life. He gives you the power to live an overcoming life, to live above sin. You don't hear that too many places. What? Everybody sins? Yeah, they do. But you get the Holy Ghost, you have the power to start not sinning anymore. And you're like a little baby, you crawl for a while, you're going to have problems, and then you see, pretty soon some of the problems you had before are gone, and you grow a little bit more, and then you quit this, and you go a little bit more, and you quit that. And we're really growing to the day we get called home. But I'll tell you what, after you've had the Holy Ghost for a couple of years, everybody in the world shouldn't be able to find all these things wrong with you. You shouldn't be reacting to them the way you used to. You shouldn't be talking to them the way you should be doing the things that you used to do. You shouldn't look like you used to look. God wants us to change. He wants us to show His glory in this world. He wants us to be a positive in a negative world. And a lot of people don't want to cross that line too much. We're a little different. You know, I might not fit in. And might have to take a little persecution. I want to be one of the boys. I've been through a lot of that. A lot of jobs, especially construction work. And most of the guys are pretty macho, and you know, anybody that's got a soft heart and doesn't have a vocabulary full of four-letter words really doesn't fit in that much. But I made a stand, I'm glad I did. I made a stand, and I'm never going to go back either. Verse 44, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. I will walk in that liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies before kings and will not be ashamed. You know what that means? That means you stand up in front of anybody and witness to them about what Jesus has done for you. It means you not be ashamed. He said, if you're ashamed of me now, I'll be ashamed of you then. Pray for boldness. I wasn't always as bold as I am now. I had to pray for it. And God gave it to me. I don't care where I'm at or who I'm talking to now. It just comes out of me. But it wasn't something that I just naturally did. I had to pray about it. To get bolder and bolder. And then, praise God, it happened. Verse 47, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. It means I love the ways of God. There's nothing in God's word that's not good for you. Nothing. And He loves it. He loves God's commandments because He knows what they've done for Him. He knows they put peace and joy in your life, put happiness, they put protection for your family. It's you can't lose with God. He's got this covered, man. All you got to do is obey His words. And are they hard? No. He breaks it down in two commandments, that you love God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, and you love one another the way I've loved you. If you do them two things, there's no way you're going to hurt each other. And you're going to be ready when that trumpet sounds, because it's going to sound. And if you're not ready, you're not going. That's scripture. I can't sugarcoat that one. Verse 48, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I meditated in thy statutes. Remember thy word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is our hope. This word of God is our hope. This is my comfort for my affliction, for the word hath quickened me. God will take care of you, man, if you obey, just obey this word. That can't be that hard, can it? To love him and then love each other? It's not hard. Satan's right there to act like you're going to have to give up something. And it's going to be a bummer. I'm not going to have any fun anymore. I can't go here. I can't do that. You give up the things that make you feel bad, guilty, the next day. That's all you give up. You just exchange a few things. Let's go to Romans, the 15th chapter, verse 1. We're talking a little bit about that, the love that God has for us that we need to show towards each other. Well, that's what this scripture is about. There's all different personalities and situations of God with people. Some people are a little bit stronger in their faith than others. But everybody's got something that complements the other one. There's not one person in here that can't compliment another person. God gives the gifts according to his will. Verse 15, let's start here with verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. That means to think about other people besides it's all about me. Now, when everything's good with me, then I can reach out to somebody else. No, it's all about what's best in God, what's best for his people. You can't outgive God. You reach out and do whatever you can to help God's people, or anybody as far as, it doesn't have to be somebody that's living for God yet. You might win somebody to God by helping them out. Show them that there really is a love out there from God. Verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. God, we want to show God's glory out. That's how you show it. Helping people, even a stranger, especially a stranger. Verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of these scriptures might have hope. Now that tells you what we were talking about a little bit ago. This is where you have hope. God laid this all out this way for us. He's doing everything he can to uplift us and get us ready. Praise God for that. Amen. I mean, we got a God of hope. We got a God, a positive God. There's not a negative thing about God. Everything's positive. Verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one towards another, as according to Jesus Christ, that we may be one mind and of one mouth, glorifying God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive you one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So this is all about brotherly love, helping each other out, and showing the world that, yeah, there is a God, and this is what he expects his people to be like, and this is what they are like. We got to be a good example out there. That's the only thing that'll work besides this word of God. If you're a good example, then you can get a chance to share this word of God with them. Let's go to Galatians, the sixth chapter. This word it tells us all about how to help each other out. We're in this together. I mean, we're family. If you're sitting here tonight and you don't feel like family, there's something wrong. If you won't go the extra mile for your brother and sister, there's something wrong. Period. There's something wrong. That's not my words, that's God's word. He said, prefer your brothers and sisters. I know this word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It says it is, but it's supposed to be. I mean, I get totally convicted when I'm studying for these teachings. There's things that come popping up here all the time, but yeah, you are lacking that, Paul. Or you got to go a little bit farther on that. Get out of your comfort zone a little bit, Paul. Get a little bit farther. You started good. Why don't you finish good? I mean, that's for me. That part's for me. When I get that, then I have to relay it to God's people. And like I said before, if a shoe fits, wear it. If it doesn't, throw it over your shoulder and wait for something to come out that does. But most of this stuff, in some degree, fits every one of us. Galatians 6, chapter, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So that is an eye-opener right there. About the time you think that you're doing real well in God and nothing can happen to you, okay, about that time you're going to fall. He tells you right here, you might have the same thing happen to you. Be careful. So show all the meekness and mercy you can towards each other, because if anything happens to you, you're going to need that mercy, understanding, and compassion yourself. Verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. You don't need anybody to pat you on the back. That'll come. He says, do it in darkness, and I'll give you an attaboy, basically, in public, where everybody can see what a good thing you did. But if you do everything unto God and just want what's best for the individual or for God's work, well, he's going to bless it, period. It's going to happen. But that's not why we do it. We do that to make God happy, because he's done so much for us, we want to do something for him. Like that song tonight. He's done so much for me. Do I hear an amen? I mean, we don't have what we have, you can't buy. This is priceless, man. I don't know. The longer I study these scriptures, the more I see that just nothing makes any difference in your life except for living for God. That's the only thing that counts. My mom and dad, they were in their 80s, late 80s when they passed away. And I just remembered, you know, they're 80-some years old, and I was with them both when they passed away. And I just remember they had a little hospital nightgown on. That's all they had on. And I remember them taking us to school and just worrying about paying the rent and all these things for years and years and years. And trying to get ahead and, you know, put groceries on the table and, you know, all that stuff. And they were gone in 1 second. 1 second, they were gone. 85 years, and they were going out of this life and the next one. In 1 second, they took absolutely nothing with them. So that's something to think about. If you're motivated to just get ahead, stay ahead, that's what all you think about every day is getting more money, better job, going places, doing things. If that's all your mind's on, you're probably not in a good place with God. He said, seek me first and I'll give you the rest of this stuff. And that's our job, personally. And then we have to share that with each other. Verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And that's what we're doing here now. We're teaching the word of God. If there's any loopholes or anything that we are doing in this word, this brings it to our remembrance. God wants us to win, not fail, win. Verse 7, and be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now that's exactly what I just said in Scripture. It's right there in the Scriptures. It tells you, seek me first, and he'll give you these things. But don't put them things before him, or you're going to lose out. And people don't like to hear this. There's people that don't like to hear this. They get convicted. They even leave church sometimes because of this word of God. It talks about that in the end days. They will not stand and hear the truth. It offends them too much. They're offended at the word. I haven't said one thing here tonight that's not in the word of God. I haven't added to it, took away from it, and haven't put my own slant on it. I've read it just exactly the way it says. So if people want to accept it that way, I'm sorry, I can't help it. I have to put it out there the way God wants me to put it out there. Verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them that are of the household of faith. Be a good example. One day at a time. Every day you go to work, go to school, go to the grocery store, wherever you go. Be a good example. Be a light in a dark world. We're the only thing that they see is the way we live. We can't share that. I can't share this word with everybody. But there's a lot of people that I meet here and there that I can be a good example when I'm around them. And they might be a little something there. What's going on with him? By any means that we could win one to God. We've got to become all things to all people that we might win one. And I tell you what, in these end days, Satan's spirit is so strong that people do not want to hear this stuff. They want to stick their head in the sand and just hope things get better. They're not going to get better. If they do, it's only going to be for a short time. In the end, it's going to be what you do in this life is what you do for eternity. If you live for him, you're getting ready to walk into a beautiful, wonderful life forever. We can't even put into words eternity. You know, we talked before about, you know, having aught against somebody or thinking, well, maybe they should get their reward, you know, because of what they did or didn't do. But you're talking eternal. There's no more hope after that. Eternity is, you're going to spend eternity one place or the other. You're not going to pray your way out or anything like that. There's no such thing. There's two places. You go to heaven or the other place, hell. And nobody wants to go there. I never met the person I want to go there. But if you go there, it's going to be your own choice. It's not going to be because I held back on something and didn't tell you the truth. I'm obligated to tell you the truth, and I'm going to. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, first chapter. Second Corinthians, the first chapter, and we're going to start out in verse 3. And what this actually means is when you've gone through a hard time, really hard time, and your brother or sister or even somebody you just meet is having a hard time because of your empathy for them and compassion for them because you've already been there. It's a lot deeper than just compassion. Well, I see this guy having a hard time or her having a hard time. I feel bad about that. I'll do something. But when you got empathy, that's when you've been there. You know how that really feels deep inside, how bad it really hurts. So it opens up a lot of different emotions in you for a person because you see them in a different light. You see how deep and how bad they really hurt. And that's what this scripture is all about. And if God gives it to us, we got to pass it on. We need to pass it on. That mercy and that understanding and that love we owe to mankind. 1 Corinthians, first chapter and verse 3. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And that's what that means. It means because we've been through all this stuff, we have that much more empathy for you. We know in part, at least in part, what you're feeling. I mean, the same thing can happen to 10 people and they're all going to feel a little bit different. But the basic hurt and feelings are going to be there. And you're going to have a lot more feeling for them. And you'll go father for them. You'll do whatever it takes to help them out. And that's what we do. Amen. Let's go to Matthew, the 10th chapter, real quick, like. Matthew, the 10th chapter, and verse 6 through 8. And this basically is just what I was just talking about. When God gives you something, you need to freely give it back. Whether it's compassion or help or just anything. Anything God does for you, you need to turn right around when you get the opportunity and do it to a brother or sister. Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse 6. But go rather into the to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. And here's the part that I was talking about. Freely you have received, and freely give. We are obligated to everyone we meet to help them in any way we can, to show God's love and compassion for them, and hopefully win them to the salvation. Amen. Colossians, the 3rd chapter. This is how we should interact with it. Each and every one of us, with each other, and with anybody we meet. Colossians, the 3rd chapter, let's start in verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind. Humbleness of mind. That means not to think more of yourself than you really are. Meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Even if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which we know that's love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to that which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of God, the word of Christ, dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And that pretty much wraps up what a Christian is supposed to act like. And right at the last part, it says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and to the Father by him. That means everything we do, whether it's in God's work or in the workplace or in school or anything, everything we should do, the best we can do. I can get by here. That's a scripture that you give when you're working. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that says that we're obligated to give a man 8 hours for 8 hours. And we're not supposed to cruise or hide around the corner and wait for something to do. We're supposed to be good workers. We should be the epitome of what a person would want to hire. Trustworthy, good workers, show up all the time. When we're on the job, be alert, be productive. These are all the ways that we show the glory of God. I've been on jobs before where they said it was several church people on there. And one guy says to me, he's talking about Buck. He goes, yeah, a lot of them boys don't like to be around Buck because he talks about God. But boy, he's a good hand, and I'd hire him in any job I ever had. That's not bad for anybody to say that about you, is it? I'm hoping that was always said about me. Amen. We're going to finish it up here, and where's that here? We're going to Proverbs. It's kind of lengthy, but it needs to be said. It's an uplifting proverb, and it covers a lot of different bases. It's going to be the third chapter of Proverbs. And we start out in verse 1. We're going to read the whole chapter. Proverbs, the third chapter. Verse 1. My son or daughter, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. The length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. For thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Be humble. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And it shall be a health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Man, I mean, listen to these words. Listen to the love in these words and the care that God has for his people. I mean, God is so loving and tender towards us, man. I don't know how anybody could get upset with his words. I can see where you can get convicted, but I can't see where you can get upset. It breaks my heart if that happens occasionally. Verse 9, honor thy Lord with thy first substance and with thy first fruits of all thine increase. And that talks about we don't pass the plate around here as far as tithes go. But we know that we pay tithes. We're supposed to pay tithes, and there's a box over there to put them in. But we don't teach it here. At least I've never heard much about it. Over the 43 years I've been here, I think maybe I heard a little something about it four or five times. In 43 years. So with the Holy Ghost, God puts it on your heart to take care of his church. And that's what tithes are for. Take care of his church and help the ministry a little bit here and there. But man, you can't outgive God. You cannot outgive God. Verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and the presses shall burst open with new wine. My son and daughter, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. See, there's none of us that are not going to get chastised once in a while. I don't care how hard you try, you're gonna mess up once in a while. And when you do, you don't hide it. Hey, I know I'm wrong, Lord. You get on your knees and repent. Get back in the race. Verse 11. My son and daughter, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. So he just talks about being your dad, just making sure your son don't get hurt. Verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. You can't buy wisdom, but God can give it to you. That's the cool thing about that. It don't make any difference where you came from, whether you've been well-educated or sort of educated, God can give you wisdom and understanding. He will quicken your mind. He will lift you up. He will make you useful to him. And I love him for that. He says, I take the lesser things of this world and make a positive out of them. And I can attest to that. He's done that in my life. And I'm forever grateful. I didn't do anything. I don't do anything for God because I want something from him. I do it because I love him. And I want to make him happy because he's been so good to me. That's the only thing I do stuff for. I don't have my hand out for anything. If I get it, if he wants to bless me, fine. If not, well, that's okay. I got the Holy Ghost. I'm happy for the first time in my entire life. And I don't care if I got anything besides that. If God's happy with me, that's good enough for me. Verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree. This is talking about the Word of God. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding has he established the heavens. Now this is a God that spoke all this stuff that you can see into existence. This is the kind of power we're dealing with here. This is not a fairy tale. This is real stuff here, man. God is, he's an awesome God. I know I say that a lot, but I can't find any more words to call him besides awesome. He is awesome. And I love him, and he loves me, and he loves you. This living for God's a love affair. And if you really love somebody, you're going to spend some time with them. And you're going to look into his word, and you're going to pray, and all the answers and all your ups and downs are all taken care of in prayer and study. God will lead you and guide you and comfort you and get you through all this stuff. The things we go through in this world are for a reason. Because we're going to be rulers and reigners with him. That's what he says. We're going to be kings and priests, a royal priesthood. And we got to be proven. That's what we're doing. We're going through these hard times, up and down, to prove our love for him. To prove that we're not in this here for the filthy liqueurs, they say. We're in this because we love God and we want to spend eternity with him. And he says, he told the Israelites, I brought you through the desert for 40 years to prove you and try you, to see what's really in you. That's where we're at. But boy, when it's over with, it's going to be a wonderful thing. And it's eternal. Verse 20. By his knowledge and the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. My son and daughter, let not them be departed from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace unto thy neck. Then thou shalt walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. You see all these promises that God's got for us. I mean, this whole, that's why I had to read this whole thing. It's all shows all God's love and promises to us and how much he cares for us. And if we just keep his word, there's nothing can happen to us that he's not in control of. It's when we step out of that we're asking for trouble. Verse 24, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. This world is afraid right now. The ones that aren't where they're supposed to be with God, they're afraid. And they should be. Because it's bad. It's bad out there. And it's, like I said, the only hope we have is in God. And if they won't hear these words, there's not much you can do for them. But hopefully as it gets worse, people are going to be looking for answers. And all the answers are right here in this Word of God. So we keep teaching it, preaching it, sharing it, living it. And if there's anybody out there that has a love for the truth, they'll grab a hold of them coattails and jump in. If they don't, there's nothing you can do about that. But at least you try. And they won't stand there and say that they didn't hear it. That's where we don't ever want to be. When somebody loses out and they look at you and say, why didn't you tell me? Can you imagine what that would feel like? Could you imagine? Because that's eternal, man. There's no going back. And I know I'm not the only one that feels that way. Amen. I mean, this is family. You got natural family. You got friends. You got cousins. I mean, I've tried to share this word with so many people, man, and it fell on deaf ears then. But he said, my word doesn't go out void. So I don't know what, as the world gets worse, as it gets worse, maybe something will pop up that, hey, I remember him telling me about that. And they'll look into it. And God will be right there. If any time you really want to change and you want what God wants and not what you think God's what all about, what's in his word, he's right there to show you and lead you and guide you and give you that Holy Ghost to get you ready to spend eternity with him, to rule and reign with him. Heaven is not just some old man sitting on a cloud like we've said before. Heaven's going to be awesome. He says, eyes have not seen or ears or eye conceived the things that God's got laid up for those that love him. So he's talking about a 401k plan, you know, something to work for. This is, what's 100 years in this world? Nothing compared to eternity. You think about just this week, write down how much time you give God compared to all the things you got going in your life. And then at the end of the week, look at that. Say, you know, or you might be happy. Hey, I'm doing good. Or you might be somewhere in between. But we need to get as close as we can to God and stay there and win some new souls and get some fire in this church. We need some fire in this church. We need some young people in this church, more young people. And we need some that are on fire for God so they can go out there and win them souls. Scripture teaches when you win a soul to God, the heavens rejoice. That's just one soul. I mean, this church was founded on this, winning souls, brotherly love. This was a Philadelphia church, a church of brotherly love. And if you love somebody, you want to share this gospel with them. That is love. That's real love. Love, if you say real love and you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings because you're going to keep them from going to hell, you don't love them that much. You got to tell them the truth. And if they got a love for the truth, they're going to, might not do nothing right then, but they're going to, sometime down the line, God will be able to get hold of them. I got a lot on my mind tonight, and it's mostly about souls. It's about us being what God called us to be, and it's about winning souls to him. And we've got to have some fire to do it. We got to be, that light's got to be shining out there, man. We can't be like everybody else. We got to be the church that God called us to be. And let's spend this week taking our inventory, every one of us. See, what can I do, Lord, to get me closer to you and to win souls? What can I say or do that might touch somebody's heart? Pray for God to put a soul on your heart. I think we talked about that last week. I thought about several people that I haven't thought about for 40 years after I said that. The next day when I was praying, I said, I wonder about them. So one person I actually did send a text to. Verse 26. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them whom is due, when it's in thy power of thine hand to do so. If you see a brother or sister or somebody that's got a need and you can help them out, do it. Just do it. not have to worry about them giving you anything back or doing anything for you. Just do it. And I can tell you right now, God will richly bless you. Say not unto thy neighbor, go, come again, and tomorrow I will give thee, when thou hast it to give. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwells securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he has done thee no harm. Envy not, and envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. And that, what that means is, you know, some people in the natural world are very blessed, rich. They can go and do whatever they want to do. And maybe you're just barely getting by. Well, you got plenty to eat, and you got gas in your car and all that. But I mean, you can't get up and go anytime you want to. Don't envy them people. Don't envy them. You got what you got, money can't buy. And that doesn't mean just because you have money that you don't love God and you don't have the Holy Ghost or none of that stuff. I'm just saying, if somebody is in a position where they can get jealous of somebody else, you should be happy for people when they're doing good. God works the rest of that stuff out. He's the judge, not us. Verse 32, for the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he that blesses the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorner, but he giveth grace unto the lowly, the humble people, his humble people. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. If you're wise, you live for God, according to his word. That's the wisdom. And then he will add not only natural blessings to you, but when you understand what's going on in your life, what the deeper things in your, we'll say your personality, and then you also understand your brothers and sisters where you can help them through a hard time. That's the kind of wisdom that comes from God's word. That's the kind of wisdom you won't learn in school. That's the kind of word you learn on your knees with God in prayer. So tonight, if you have anything in your life that you want God to take care of, this altar's open. If you haven't received the Holy Ghost yet, the altar's open. If you just want a special blessing from God, this altar's open. So I invite you, one and all, to come to this altar and get everything you can from God, because we all need all we can get from God, especially in these days. I love you all. Thank you for hanging in there. You have a good week.